Good evening to you all. Turn with me to Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews and chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and we will commence reading at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11, commencing to read at verse 8, and we'll read up to the 16th verse. I commence reading. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the skies and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on the earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Let's bow in prayer again. Father, we bow again before you and ask that you might come and help us as we turn our attention to your word once again. Bless this your word to our hearts, our Father, and glorify your name, to the praise of your one and only Son, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My text this evening is particularly the verses 9 and 10, though we will, of course, refer to the other verses in the passage read. Verse 9 says, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. For the The messages that have come to us in the evenings across this month, we have been reflecting on the delightful subject of heaven. And this evening, I want to draw your attention to the theme, looking forward to or longing for heaven. Looking forward to and longing for heaven. We are told concerning Abraham, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. And I am proposing this subject for our meditation this evening because it is my belief that Christians of today don't do this as much as they should. Where you are seated, I wonder if you were to ask yourself a question as to when you last thought about heaven. When you last longed for heaven. I got converted in the mid-70s. And I can testify to you that at the time, and those who got converted in that period will bear me witness, Christians talked fairly frequently and excitedly about heaven. Christians longed for heaven. Heaven was the subject of their everyday conversation. Heaven was the subject of their songs. Heaven was the subject of their thoughts. Indeed, they would hear messages on heaven often from the pulpit. It was the subject of many a Bible study. And around heaven, you would hear Christians staring and staring one another on, as they thought, as they longed for heaven. Today, however, that is not the case. For most of us, as I've already alluded to a short while ago, it's a long time ago we thought of heaven. Probably it was a time when we fell very ill, and we felt like we were dying. Or probably it was a time when we were undergoing some kind of affliction or trouble. Most of us rarely, and I'm sorry to say, don't think of heaven at all. I believe that the majority of people in the congregation tonight are Christians. And all of us will say very confidently that we are going to heaven. We will say very confidently that we want to go to heaven. However, if I were to ask those who want to go to heaven immediately, I know there will be very few hands that will be raised. And you know from the depth of your heart why there would be that hesitation. And so I thought it would be helpful and ideal for us to pause and meditate on this subject, looking forward to and longing for heaven. And to help us in this regard, I thought I should hold before us the example of the patriarch Abraham, concerning whom we are told in verse 10 of the passage before us that he looked forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. As the father of the faithful, it is my belief that Abraham is a perfect example or model among mortals of this exercise, of this occupation of looking forward to heaven, of longing for heaven. He is a perfect example for us to learn from, a perfect example for us to emulate. In Abraham, we have a man who not only started off by faith, but also a man who lived his life, a man who walked with God by faith, and a man who, as we read earlier on in the passage here, ended his life in faith. He died in faith, as we read from verse 13. Indeed, among men of like passions, like us, we cannot think of a better example. So I want to share a couple of things, and I won't mention them because, as I've already said, we are doing some adjustments here. But the first point that I want to share with you is with respect to Abraham's forward look. Abraham's forward look. Notice that again in verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. A couple of things that I want you to notice with me under that. First of all, the fact of Abraham's forward look. The fact of Abraham's forward look. This is something that Abraham did, and it is clearly stated to us in the verse that I just read to you. There is no doubt about the fact that Abraham looked forward. And in this passage alone, you will notice that that is mentioned at least four times. Notice that in verse 10. For he was looking forward to the city. And then if you go down to verse 13, in the commentary that includes others there, we are told all these people were living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. They saw them and welcomed them from a distance. That is looking. And then, of course, in verse 14, again we read, people who say such things show. What do they show? They show that they are looking for a country of their own. And then, of course, down in verse 16, we read, instead, they were looking for a better country, a heavenly one. And so it is very clear that Abraham had this forward look. But secondly, notice the essence, the meaning, and the object of his forward look. What was this forward look about? What did it mean? And what was its object? Well, notice first of all, the word look there. It's a word that means to yearn, to long for, to desire, to expect, to think about, to entertain. It's a word that has the idea in it of earnest expectation. Abraham yearned for, he longed for, he desired, he expected, he thought, he entertained. But notice secondly, that this was not just a bare look or a passing glance as in a physical exercise of raising one's eyes. It was not something mechanical, in other words. It was not a one-off thing, but something that was sustained. It was a sustained habitual activity that involved the thoughts of Abraham. It involved the desires of Abraham. It involved his emotions, his affections. It involved his decisions. It involved his expressions. It involved his entire life. It was an action comparable to that which the Apostle Paul calls for example, in Colossians and chapter 3. And turn with me there so that I can read the first two or so verses of Colossians and chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, this is what the Apostle Paul says, starting from verse 1. And I want you to take note of the action that the Apostle Paul is calling for here. It is mentioned in verse 1, it is mentioned also in verse 2, perhaps from different angles. Since then, he says, you have been raised with Christ. What should you do? Set your hearts on things above. Not as a one-off thing, but as a sustained activity. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And that's the stated action. That's a stated activity. But then in verse 2, he now talks about how this should be done. He says, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Set your hearts, set your minds as a sustained activity. But notice thirdly, the object of his look. The object of his look, we are told, he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose builder and architect is God. And there, of course, is a clear reference to heaven, as further commentary in verses 13 going down to verse 16 confirms. The object of Abraham's forward look was heaven. That's what he longed for. That's what he desired. That's what he was looking for. Heaven. Heaven was on Abraham's mind. On an ongoing basis, he longed for it every day. He wanted to go there. He wanted to be there. And for Abraham, as we read in these verses before us, the land of promise was only a type and pledge of a better country, and the better country being the heavenly one. And in this sense, of course, we can say, after what we read from Colossians chapter 3, that this man set his heart and his mind on things above. Meaning that he was heavenly minded. Now, turn with me to Genesis chapter 13. There's something that I want to illustrate from there very quickly. I will not dwell so much on it for reasons that I've already mentioned. He It's a very familiar story, and so I will beg of you to read a bit more in terms of detail as to what is happening there in your own time. But in Genesis chapter 13, we have some very interesting situation there. First of all, in verse 10, we have this man called Lot. He was Abraham's nephew. He does something in verse 10 similar to what Abraham does a little later in verse 14. And by that I simply mean that both Lot and Abraham, in those two verses that I have cited to you, where they both looked up. They both looked up. But one looked in a totally different direction. And the other, being Abraham, looked in the manner in which we are talking about him this evening. You know the background in terms of how these two, because of, you know, their increasing in wealth and all that, there was a quarrel, and they had to part company somehow. Verse 10 says, Lot looked around, or looked up, and take note what he saw. He saw the whole plain of the Jordan towards Zoar, and he saw how that this whole plain was well watered. And it was like the garden, of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. And this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, when Sodom and Gomorrah was actually, you know, where it was, where it should have been. That's where this man looked. And so he chose for himself, verse 11, he chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan, and he set out towards the east. Of course, the two men parted company. That's what I said earlier on. What about Abraham? Look at verse 14. The Lord said to Abraham, after Lot had parted with him, look up. Where are you? To the north and the south, to the east and the west. All the land that you see, I will give to you and your offspring. Notice, forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go, walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you. And so Abraham went and lived near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents, familiar language indeed. There he built an altar to the Lord. To cut the long story short, I'm trying to suggest to you that in the description that God is giving there, it's very clear that Abraham was looking forward. He was looking beyond. He was looking to that city whose builder, with foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Looking forward and longing. Of course, it doesn't mean sitting on the ground in yoga style with the Bible on your laps and gazing into the sky, doing nothing. That's not what it means. It's a sustained attitude and habit of life that has its focus on heaven. That was Abraham's forward look. What is important to say at this stage is that this is something that the Bible teaches Christians should do. This is what is expected of every Christian. Indeed, there is a sense in which it is a mark, it is a duty of every Christian to look forward to heaven. And just as the Apostle Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 3, set your hearts and your minds on things. Turn to 2 Peter with me. I'll just read one portion of scripture in the interest of time here. 2 Peter chapter 3. We are familiar with the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 1, for instance, starting from verse 21 there, where he says, "For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain." And then he says a few other things thereafter. I don't have time to go there, but let's just read from 2 Peter and chapter 3. And listen to the language of the Apostle Peter here. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I draw your attention particularly to verses beginning at 10. Second Peter chapter 3. Let's begin reading at verse 10. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be?" At that point, you have to pay attention. What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. Why? As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort, he says. It's a very serious implication, practical implication there. Since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. It's assumed that every serious Christian will be looking forward to heaven. Let me come to my second point. We're talking about Abraham's forward look. But secondly, how does Abraham demonstrate his forward look? How did he demonstrate? How did he show his forward look? There are a number of things that we are told in the passage before us, and we can only mention a few. Notice with me, first of all, that he demonstrated or showed his forward look by accepting and owning his identity, and its life implications for the present as well as for the future. Notice that. in verse 13. The Bible says all these people were still living by faith when they died. In fact, I think let me read verse 9 as well. By faith, Abraham made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. And then verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting or confessing or testifying that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. And people who say such things show, demonstrate that they are looking for a better country and an heavenly one for that matter. Abraham accepted who he was. He accepted what he was. He accepted where he rightly belonged. He accepted the fact that he was a stranger. He was an alien or a pilgrim. A stranger because he was a citizen of another country. A stranger because he was a citizen of heaven. He did not belong to this world. He did not belong to the promised land. He was a pilgrim on a journey, traveling from one country to the other. Where he is headed to. He accepted that. But notice secondly, that he also conducted himself as a stranger. He lived as a sojourner, as an alien, as a stranger in a foreign country. Even though this land of promise was promised to him, the way he conducted himself whilst in that land was like a sojourner, a stranger in this place, headed to another country that rightly belongs to him. The word sojourn means to walk around or to roam around in the earth like a nomad. Because you are conscious of the fact that that place is not your home. You notice that Abraham didn't settle down. He continued to walk around in this place because he was a stranger in it. He accepted the fact. He felt it deep within. And he conducted himself accordingly. That's why we are told that he lived in tents. He lived in temporal dwelling places. That's what verse 9 tells us. Because he was a stranger in this land, he was willing to live in tents because he had an expectation. He was looking forward to another country, a permanent home, not here on earth, not in the promised land, but another city, a heavenly one. And he did this despite the fact that Abraham was a man of means. Abraham, by the standards of his day, was a very rich man. He was rich in cattle. He was rich in silver. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 20 gives us that detail. He was rich in silver. He was rich in gold. He had a lot of wealth which he could have used if he wanted to buy land in the promised land, which he would have used if he wanted to build himself a mansion and so on and so forth. He could have used his wealth to settle himself in this land. He didn't do that. Deliberately dwelt in tents. He remained loose to the things of earth because he knew earth was not his home. His portion was not on the earth but in heaven. He was being mindful of heaven. He set his heart on things above. He showed how heavenly minded he was by how unmindful he was of the world and of the earth. Now, of course, whilst he did this, it is important to mention that he was not just seated under a tree with legs folded and just gazing into the sky. He did whatever he had to do in as far as serving God is concerned. He did whatever he could do in as far as taking care of his family was concerned. He was not so heavenly minded as to be of no earthly use. He was faithful in every way as a temporary dweller, as a sojourner. His mind and his heart was fixed on heaven. But he did the most he could in as far as serving God and being obedient to God was concerned. Let me just mention one more point and then I'll close. This is something that Abraham was convicted about. This is something that he was persuaded about. This was being done by conviction. It was being done out of principle. It's not as if this man was being forced to do this. He was doing it because he was convinced, because he was persuaded. He was doing it because he was hanging on the word of God, on the promises of God. Was done out of conviction. He was persuaded. The scriptures tell us in verse 13 and 14 how that he testified, he confessed that he was a stranger. He was not ashamed. He was not ashamed to tell people round about him that his home is not here. He was not afraid to tell people. He was not ashamed to tell people that he was a pilgrim, that he was a sojourner, that he was a stranger. He confessed. He declared. He made it very clear before everyone that his home was somewhere else, here on earth. He was just sojourning en route to that heavenly city, even the New Jerusalem. This world is not my home. I am just a passing through, says one old song. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond. That's what was happening here. Abraham's forward look. He was looking forward, obviously, because heaven was his home. He was a citizen of heaven. not a citizen of this world. He was on a pilgrimage. And he couldn't wait but get there. Even though we are told he died in faith, still looking forward. But it was because he felt deep within that heaven was his home. Against that background, everyone who is serious with God should be concerned that as Christians we don't do much of that today. And I wish I could have time to talk about why Christians should long for heaven. And also to talk about why some Christians do not as long for heaven. We don't have time to do that. But it's sad that we don't long for heaven. We don't talk about heaven as much. I was looking through the archives of some of the songs that we used to sing in those early days. And I was amazed that 80% of these songs were talking about heaven. Heaven. Heaven is my destination. Heaven is my home. I am going to see my God. I have a task before me. Convert the world to Jesus. No matter what happens or what befalls me. I've got to do it before I die. I know Christians who are ashamed of this word pilgrim. It sounds so puritanical. It sounds so old-fashioned. It sounds so intimidating, so demanding. Well, that's exactly what is supposed to happen. Whether you like it or not, if you are a genuine believer, you are a pilgrim. And if this word scares you on account of the demands that it cries out for in terms of you demonstrating that you are indeed a pilgrim, well, it's a shame on you. If for that reason alone, you are intimidated. There is nothing puritanical in the strictest sense of the word. There is everything biblical about it. Brethren, let me just close here by simply saying to us, let us get into this habit, this sustained activity. If you are a genuine believer, surely, if this world is not your home, and you have a permanent home in heaven, where Christ is, you must be feeling homesick. You must long for heaven. And God help us to do just that, for His honor and for His glory. We pray together. Father, be pleased to make the words of this hymn our own as we continue meditating upon this your word. Bless it to our hearts, our Father, so that we might be made unto the people that you desire, so that you may be proud of us and not ashamed to be called our God. So bless these thoughts to our hearts and glorify your name. For Jesus' sake, amen.